Dear Cheap Astronomy, what's the best solution to generate artificial gravity for long-duration space travel? The best, indeed the only current solution to generate artificial gravity, is to spin the part of your spacecraft that contains the crew. But to identify the ideal combination of engineering parameters, such as spin rate, spin radius, and the size of the spinning cabin, you really want to build a combined medical and engineering laboratory in microgravity so you can trial all the possibilities. Until that happens, we are mostly limited to hypothetical considerations. Fortunately, here at Cheap Astronomy, hypothetical considerations are pretty much what we do. The general principle behind generating artificial gravity through rotation can be demonstrated on Earth by filling a bucket of water and swinging the bucket around in a circle, providing you spin it fast enough. Even when the bucket is upside down, the water doesn't fall out, because the centrifugal force generated by the spin overcomes Earth's gravitation and the water stays in the bucket. This brings us to the first rule of generating artificial gravity. You don't want to generate more than 1g at the maximum diameter of rotation. Assuming you are standing with your feet towards the inner hull of your spacecraft, if you experience much more than 1g, your blood will drain from your head to your feet. A trained fighter pilot can manage up to 9g for short periods before blacking out, but the rest of us would probably black out before we got to 6g. However, if there is just 1g generated at the maximum diameter of rotation, then blacking out won't be an issue. On the Discovery 1 spacecraft, in the movie 2001, we see astronaut Bowman running laps around its circumference, able to do so by virtue of its spin, which generates a radially directed artificial gravity upon him. The fictional Discovery 1 spacecraft was about 16 meters in diameter, so by spinning at about 10 times a minute, it could generate 1g at Bowman's feet, although his head would only be experiencing about 0.75g. Potentially this would confuse his vestibular system, a system within each of your inner ears which helps you know how your body is orientated. Being used to Earth conditions, where the g-force at your feet is almost identical to the g-force at your head, your vestibular system can tell your feet how to compensate for any acceleratory forces your head is experiencing. But on a 16-meter diameter rotating spacecraft, your feet would not be experiencing the same acceleratory forces as your head, and so a flailing stumble might eventuate. And if you bent over to pick up something from the floor, there'd be a sudden rush of blood to your head. And there's also a problem if astronaut Bowman runs counter to the spin direction, which means he's reducing the angular acceleration, the g-force, acting on his body. Indeed, if he ran fast enough, counter to the spacecraft's spin, he would eventually lift off the floor. For these reasons, an ideal artificial gravity environment is generally thought to have a 100-meter spin radius, which would ensure the 1g at your feet is about the same as at your head, and the linear speed of the floor is so fast that running in either direction would make no real difference to your net angular acceleration. Nonetheless, it is possible that our sensory and physiological systems could adapt to the smaller Discovery 1's environment, and we'd just get by moving around very carefully. Again, until we properly test what's physically and physiologically possible, we just don't know. All that said, we have actually tested something, at least on a small scale, in a short time frame. A centrifuge designed to spin humans and assess their vestibular responses flew aboard the Space Shuttle Neurolab mission, STS-90, in 1998. This experiment was the first and only proper in-flight evaluation of the effect of artificial gravity on astronauts. The results suggested that a centrifugal force of 0.5g generated for 20 minutes every other day during the 16-day space mission, was able to reduce the cardiovascular deconditioning that's commonly seen in zero-G spaceflight. So maybe we don't have to spin spacecraft after all. We could just take a human-rated centrifuge along for the ride. But again, without testing this properly, we just don't know. So, want to land on Mars in the 2030s? Start testing now.